This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Jason Berry delivers this teaching entitled Noah. This is the fourth message in the series, Like a Boss. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Welcome to 12 Stone. We're glad that you are here with us this weekend as we finish, believe it or not, our Like a Boss series. And again, in this series, we're looking at biblical characters, men and women from Scripture who lived a life like a boss. Whether it was one significant moment of their life or something of the completion of the body of work of their life, this is a series where we're looking at men and women who live life like a boss. Now, today's character, the man we're looking at from Scripture, is one of the most well-known characters in all of Scripture. Whether you were raised in the church and grandma forced you every week, or whether it's your very first time in a church building, you've most likely heard this character's name. For many of us, we can recite his story to our kids because we do it at bedtime all the time. The character for this weekend is the character of Noah. You've all heard the name Noah. For me, it's some of my earliest childhood memories of my parents reading the little children's Bible with the story of Noah in it, and the picture just is stuck in my head of an ark with two giraffes' heads sticking out of the side of the boat. I don't know why every children's Bible stole the same picture. You see, the story of Noah is well known. And so I figured, what better way to start the teaching than to give you something of a pop quiz in church? We all love middle school math pop quizzes. I'm going to give you a pop quiz about what happened in the story of Noah, because I think we already know the generalities of this story. So I'm going to need some crowd participation, give you a couple questions here. Here's pop quiz time. First one. So God tells Noah he's going to flood the earth. What does God tell Noah to build? On three. One, two, three. Congratulations. Here's the good news. In a room this size, if you don't know the answer, just mumble loudly. People will think you got the answer right. You're good. All right. So God told Noah to get all the animals from earth on the ark. How many of each animal did God tell Noah to bring? On three. One, two, three. Congratulations. There's some procreative and reproduction purposes for that you can enjoy telling your kids about later. Third question. It starts to rain and the flood starts to come. How many days and nights does it rain for? Your answer on three. How many days and nights does it rain for? One, two, three. 40. Good job. Y'all are smart. We're working through this message quick. We're going to be done really, really, really easily here. Last question. Maybe the trickiest. We'll see if you got it. After the flood's over, the boat makes it through. The animals exit the boat. Noah and his family are saved, and God sends Noah a sign to let him know he'll never flood the earth again. What was the sign that God sent Noah? One, two, three.
Rainbow.
Congratulations. Let's pray and go home. And so, I'm just kidding. Y'all know the story of Noah. It's not rocket science. You've heard it from the time you were a kid. But it's easy to make this story of Noah really small and really simple when I think there's layers to this that God wants to use to invite us into a faith journey, a journey of faith. In fact, it's so easy to take this whole idea of Noah's Ark and shrink it down to something pretty simple when in fact it was incredible. Noah built this boat for 100 years. 100 years. And there's actually, the cool thing is about 2 weeks ago, there's a guy in Kentucky. Why is it always Kentucky? I don't know. There was a guy in Kentucky who took from Scripture in Genesis 6, God's exact instructions to Noah, every inch and foot and dimension of the boat, and he built a life-size version of Noah's Ark. The guys are going to put it on the screen. Take a look at this. It's unbelievable. Here's the stats of what Noah built. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. The total volume of the ark was roughly 1.5 million cubic feet. The capacity of 570 train cars. It could carry 22,000 tons. Look at that. unbelievable what Noah built. Noah and his three sons spent 100 years building this ark. And perhaps the biggest miracle of all was that a father was on a job site with his three sons for 100 years and he didn't kill them. See, when I was a kid, my dad and I and my brother started the painting business, actually. We worked together very similar to Noah. And at 16, 17 years old, we were starting a business so we could save money for college. And so we worked in the jobs painting things. And the reality of being a 16-year-old owning a painting company is you usually get the jobs that no other painting company wanted to take. So we found ourselves in some pretty precarious situations. One of our first jobs, we were hired to paint the roof of a tin roof farmhouse. Painting high up is tough anyway, but painting while standing on the surface you're actually painting, very dangerous. So as a 16-year-old boy, my brother, 15 years old, we get dropped off at the work site. My dad's like, listen, I need you to move. We got to get this job done today. We got another job starting tomorrow. He leaves. We climb up. We start painting. The problem is if you step on wet paint, it's a slip and slide three stories up. More so when the paint dries in the bottom of your shoe, there's no rubber left for friction, basic science, and now you're wearing two slip and slides for shoes. And so we're going very slow because we're terrified. So my dad shows up midday to bring us lunch and check on things, and he looks, and we're only halfway done with one half of the roof. He's like, guys, we gotta go. We're like, Dad, we're terrified. We're three stories up wearing slip and slides for shoes. This is dangerous. He said, all right, I'll take care of that. We gotta move. He runs to the car, comes back with two long ropes, and he instructs us to tie these ropes around our waist, throw them over the roof, and tie them to a tree on the other side. Therefore, if we begin to fall, the rope will catch us, we'll survive. I mean, dad of the year, great moment, congrats, you know? And as a 16-year-old kid, I was dumb enough to go, makes sense, thanks, let's go. So we're now flying because we have the safety rope. So we finish the first side really fast. We're no longer scared of dying, and we get down off the ladder, go to the other side of the roof, climb up the other side, and we're just flying. And then I start to slip again on the other side a little bit and had a moment of fear, but then I remembered again, thanks, Dad, got the safety rope. And then my eyes begin to follow the rope. And the rope was still tied to a tree. It was the tree that was on the same side as the roof that I was on currently. And the rope fell off the roof across the grass, tied to the tree really tight, but it would have done nothing. If I'd have fallen off the roof, I'd have been dead. It was the one time in my whole life I remember yelling at my dad and him going, yep, my bad, I own it completely, my fault. See, you think of Noah and his three sons for 100 years building this thing, and you go, that is quite an endeavor. See, the story of Noah is absolutely unbelievable. And the tenet or the characteristics of Noah's life that allow us to be talking about him like a boss really revolves around one word. That one word is faith. Noah was a man of faith. You see, when I was given the topic of this Like a Boss series, the first place I ran to figure out who am I going to be talking about was in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith Heroes. These are men and women who lived a life of faith. In fact, if you want to go there with me, we're going to be on page 1212. Page 1212 in Hebrews 11. We're going to be looking just for a couple minutes at the life of Noah through the lens of Hebrews 11. Because Noah is one of the men listed as a faith hero in Scripture. And so Hebrews 11, every person listed, the thread that connects them all is this thread of faith. And Hebrews starts out by defining faith for us in verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Here's how God begins to define faith for us. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See, God's dealing with a definition of faith here. Faith deals with unseen realities. Faith allows us to believe as real fact that which our senses have not perceived yet. God's saying, listen, faith is kind of like, even though you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, hold it in your hand, we can believe these things that God says is real fact. Faith compels us to take action based on what God promises us. See, if I was going to sum that up, if I was going to sum Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 up into one simple statement, if you're taking notes, here's your first blank. Simply put, this is how I would define faith through this filter. Faith is a tangible response to a spiritual reality. Faith is a tangible, real response to a spiritual reality. See, faith compels us to real action in the here and now based on what God promises, what God says. And although faith can be defined broadly, it's expressed individually. And each person in Hebrews 11, if you walked through and we listed every name, they would have made a tangible response based on a spiritual reality, but the way it was expressed was unique in their time and in their context. So for example, if I was to tell you what Abraham would have expressed faith like, it would be something like this. For Abraham, faith was following God into an unknown land. God led Abraham into a land he'd never been to before. Secondly, for Sarah, maybe, if we wanted to look at Sarah, Sarah trusted God to give her a child well past childbearing years. So if you looked at Moses, for faith, Moses, the way he would express faith might be that he decided not to live a royal life in the palace, but to live among his people so that God could use him to rescue his people from the Egyptians. See, faith took on a unique interpretation in every person's time and context. And if you want to look down to verse 7, if your finger's still in Hebrews 11, verse 7 is something of Noah's induction into the hall of faith. Verse 7 says this, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. See, when Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, built an ark, how would Noah define faith in his context? I think Noah might put it this way, your second blank. Noah might say this, faith is making preparations based on what God says. I think if Noah was to sum up the whole of his life, he might say it this way. Guys, here's what faith is. If you're a man or woman of faith, you should make preparations based on what God says. So let me set the scene of what was happening around the time of Noah. We know the story, but let me just give a little context. Around the time of Noah, what had happened? God created Adam and Eve and said, be fruitful and multiply. And mankind is growing and growing and growing. And as more and more humans walk the earth, the further they drift from God. And as we look at the scene around the time of Noah, humanity has drifted so far from the heart of God. In fact, God defines it this way. They'll put it on the screen. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's pretty declarative. There's not a lot of ifs, ands, and buts in there. It's all the time, only evil, every thought. Humanity had drifted. And then God looked across the landscape of humanity and saw one man, Noah, who walked faithfully with God. And God let Noah in on his plan. This is no small thing. Almighty God lets Noah in on the plan, saying, listen, Noah, here's the deal. A flood's coming, and I need you to build a boat. And what was Noah's response? He made preparations based on what God said. And Noah, although he wasn't a boat builder, he built a boat. And he made preparations based on what God said. And with those words from God, Noah built a boat. God invited Noah into something of a faith cycle, of a faith journey, a faith process that I believe God's inviting each one of us into. Because hear me, the same God who invited Noah to build something is inviting you to build something. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in your finances, maybe in your character. The same God who invited Noah to build is inviting us to build. And you will see your own story inside of Noah's story. And so we're gonna spend the remainder of our short time together walking through this three-part faith journey, faith cycle, if you will, that God invited Noah into and that God is inviting you into here and now. So the first thing we've already kind of read and we've already kind of seen, but let's fill in the blank. The first step of this cycle is this. God gave Noah eyes to see something that was unseen. God gave Noah eyes to see something that was unseen. God gave Noah insider information no one else had. God let Noah see things that no one else could see. In Hebrews 11:7, we just read this. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. God let Noah in on his plan early. God's saying, listen, Noah, I have a plan coming. Something's gonna happen. I need you to know about it, and I need you to build a boat in preparation. And listen, I'm gonna invite you, Noah, to play a central role in my redemptive plan. And no one else is gonna understand it. They're gonna look at you like you're crazy. Imagine living in the neighborhood with Noah. How ticked off would your HOA be if someone built that boat in their backyard? See, Noah, no one else is gonna understand it. You're gonna look foolish, but I need you to make preparations based on what I'm saying. Listen to me, Noah. God still does this now. God invites us to build. I think God gives us eyes to see things other people don't see. See, I think God wants to give you eyes to see things in your kids that no one else will see. God will give you eyes to see the gifting and the wiring and the potential he's put in them. Teachers, you're about to start school. Listen to me. I think this year, God wants to give you eyes to see things in the students he's entrusted to you, to see potential that's in them. Business owners, business people, why do you start a business? Because you see things that no one else sees. If everyone saw it, the business doesn't have a lot of options. You see something no one else sees and you go for it. See, I believe God wants to give us eyes to see things no one else sees, to invite us to begin to build. But how do we get the insider information that Noah had? How do we get picked? See, in Genesis 6, I think God gives us the picture of why he picked Noah. They'll put it on the screen again. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. See, why did God give Noah insider information? Because Noah walked faithfully with him. God says, seek and you will find. God is not trying to hide. God doesn't want to hide his plans from you. God wants to invite you into his redemptive story. We just have to walk with him. It's kind of like this. A couple months ago, they drew a lottery of parents' names in my kids' class, and my name got picked to be a chaperone for my second grade son's field trip to the train museum. And I know you look at me and think, that guy loves trains. I don't know much about trains. I got nothing. So I go with my son, and I'm in charge of watching my son and 11 of his friends among probably 100, 150 second graders, which was just crazy. And so we get there, and I know nothing about trains, and the first thing they do is take you on a tour. And so I got my boys, and they're kind of rambunctious, so I held them to the back and away from the tour guide. And so the tour guide's this older lady up front who's got soft-spoken voice, and she's talking all about trains, and I can't hear a bit of it. And so my son and his friends start to ask questions. Hey, Dad, what's that thing? I have no clue what it is, but as every guy knows to do, what do when you don't know something? Make it up. And so I began to make up terms. Dad, what's that? That's the rotary girder, son. That's the rotary girder. What's it do? Steam. It's the steam. It makes the steam. Okay, cool. Hey, Dad, what's that? Oh, that's the flux capacitor. Really super important. Don't touch it. Very expensive, obviously. Don't touch that. And it doesn't take long till I run out of made-up terms for stuff. And I'm starting to look more and more dumb in front of my son's friends. So I'm like, guys, we got to fix this. Here's the deal. We're doing an end around. Let's take our boys. Let's get out the side door, go back, and we'll sneak in and do a sneak attack from the back so we can hear this tour guide. And so we snuck back around. We got close enough. It's like, okay, thank God. I can hear what she's saying, and I can stop looking like a dummy in front of my son's friends. Yeah, I think this is actually how God works. For some of us, we're standing in the back of the tour group making stuff up as we go along when there is a tour guide, a Father in heaven who wants to give you insider information. He wants you to know what's up. And he doesn't just want to make this a distant deity. He doesn't want to be so far away. He wants to invite you. Listen, I long to invite you into my plans. And let me tell you how he tends to do it, at least for me. Here's what God tends to do. He tends to interrupt and elevate. God tends to interrupt and elevate. He tends to interrupt my train of thought, where I'm headed, and elevate a principle, practice, something in my life, a spotlight, if you will. Here's how it plays out. I'll pray for my son, Luke. I pray for my kids. I got a list of things I pray through and pray for. And I'll be praying for Luke, and so God this, and God help Luke break through this, and God help this. And God will just almost arrest my thoughts, interrupt my prayer. And it's not like an audible voice. It's not some freaky thing. It's just God just begins to elevate something in Luke's life. Jason, you see this part of Luke. You've got to build something early in the character of that young man so it doesn't break him later on. I'll be praying for my daughter Lizzie, and God will just arrest my thought, interrupt it, and elevate. Jason, you see that part of her attitude. If you don't build into that right now, that will destroy her at 16, 18, 20, 30. Build into her life. I bring work problems to God. Why? He's way smarter than me. God, I got this thing here, and this system's broken, and this guy, I don't know how to help him break through. And I bring real things to God, and I ask God, help me see things I don't see. And it's amazing. God interrupts what I'm praying for, elevates the thought. God helps give insider information, even in business. And yet we would stand at the back of the tour group. and miss out on the words of God. He wants to invite you to build. He wants to invite you into his plan. And the same is true for Noah. The same is true for you. Maybe God wants to refocus your attention to a specific part of your life. Marriage, parenting, career, your character. Maybe God wants to highlight somewhere you've drifted from him. You don't even see it. You don't even realize you've drifted from God. Years ago, you were so close and yet you've drifted, and God wants to give you eyes to see where you've drifted in character. Maybe you're drifting in sin, addictions, debt, and God's going, come home, rebuild this part of your life. Maybe God wants to give you a deep passion, desire, dream. Maybe God wants to give you eyes to see a future for your life you can't even see right now. And God wants to invite you to build towards it. God wants to build things into your character, your parenting, your career, your marriage, and just like Noah, God wants to give us eyes to see. But we can't miss the second piece of this, because that all sounds great, and it is great, but there's a second piece. God gave Noah eyes to see things that were unseen. Secondly, God saw things that Noah couldn't see. This is where it gets sticky. God gave Noah eyes to see this. Listen, there's a flood coming, build a boat. Got it. The plan that God was writing was so much bigger than Noah could fathom. Noah didn't have all the information. You see, Noah did not know the whole plan. He didn't know how the animals were gonna arrive. He didn't know what was gonna happen on the other side of the flood. He didn't know how the door was gonna get shut because it was too big for him to lift. Noah did not know what rain even looked like. He'd never seen a flood before. Noah, here's the deal. There's no mention in scripture of a rudder or steering wheel anywhere on the boat. Noah didn't even get to drive. No one knew so little about the plan. All he knew was flood coming, build a boat. God had the whole thing in his hands. And we've all felt like Noah before, where you feel like God's telling you to build something here and you go, got it, God, but there's something not adding up yet. I don't know the whole story. God, if you just tell me everything, I'd be more than happy to jump in. God, if you just tell me that what's gonna happen with this 5 years, 10 years, 20, I'd be happy to jump in. But listen, if you wait to get every bit of information based on what God's asking you to do, you will never start building. And here's the scary thing. This is a scary warning from God, but also an invitation. You will never know the potential gain or loss based on what God asks you to build until you build. You will never know what'll happen if God asks you to build and you don't. You don't know what the loss is in that until it's too late. And you don't know the potential gain of what it looks like if you will build based on what God tells you to build. You don't know what God wants to build in your life. That's why you have to start now. And what did Noah do? Even with the gap between flood, boat, I don't see the whole picture. What did Noah do? Your third blank. Noah built as if it was a foregone conclusion. This is why Noah is a boss. He built for over 100 years unwaveringly based on what God said. God, you told me to do it. I'm gonna build like it's a foregone conclusion. This is the faith part. This is why Noah is in Hebrews 11. The boat's cool and all, but the fact that he built with this much information and he trusted what God said to him and he committed 100 years of his life to it, that's unbelievable. See, I like to go back in my head and like try to pretend what it would be like to be Noah. Like, okay, that first day, God says, build a boat. And you're like, okay, family meeting, gather up. Let's go, sit down. All right, guys, we're gonna build a boat. Boat, Dad? You said boat, right? Yes, we're gonna build a boat. Like, how big? No, bigger. But, like, you guys can't fathom it. Dad, are you sure he said boat? Yes, boat. Okay, think about how complicated it would have been just to explain it to his wife. Guys, imagine telling your wife at breakfast you're gonna build a boat in your backyard. Ladies, the most terrifying thing you can hear from a man is this: I think I can build that. Terrifying. My wife would not let me build a spice rack, and Noah's building an ark. See, I like to get my head back in there. I like to think, what if I was a newscaster and interviewing Noah on the other side of this build? Okay, Noah, you just finished a boat. What's going on, dude? Well, God said there's a flood. A flood? What's a flood? I don't really know. I've never seen one. Do you know anyone who's seen a flood? No, I have no clue. So cool, where's the destination of this boat going? I have no idea. So how long is it gonna, how's the water gonna actually raise the, I don't know. I've never seen rain before. Like, there's not a lot Noah could offer to this. He was literally saying to God, I trust your word at all costs. I will build unwaveringly. This is unfathomable what Noah did. Noah was given one objective, one project, which was one boat for 100 years, and he built unwaveringly because Noah had a sense that his future was on the other side of a long boat ride. And for some of you, you have a sense that your future is on the other side of a build. See, Noah made preparations based on what God said for 100 years. And when those waters started to rise, all those preparations became worth it. All the sweat, all the tears, all the energy, all the effort, all the sacrifice, all the time suddenly became worth it. As that door shut, all the preparations became worth it. As faith became sight, everything became worth it. When you walk your daughter down the aisle, all of the building into her life will become worth it. When you tear up your last credit card bill and you're finally out of debt, all those preparations will become worth it. When you hang the open sign on your new business that God put a dream in your heart to start 5, 10, 20 years ago, it will all be worth it. When you finally break through that addiction, all the effort, all the preparations will be worth it. You see, when God shut the door on that boat, God rescued Noah and his family, but he also rescued all of humanity. And listen, there's no less on the line with your life. You look at Noah as some unbelievable guy. All he is a man who God talked to, who obeyed. That could be your story. In fact, God's inviting that to be your story. But here's where we get hung up. We tend to get stuck. We tend to get stuck in the building process. Either you get stuck, you're in the never start camp, or you're in the never finish camp. Let me just break these down really quick for you. The never start camp. You're the person whose mantra is, I'll start tomorrow. Listen, I'll hop that diet. The diet sounds great. I'm all in, man. I've read all up about it online. Tomorrow's the day. Let's do this. I start my workout, my running tomorrow. And as you're getting your running shoes on, you're like, well, it's kind of hot outside. It's probably not a good day to start running today. Tomorrow, well, now it's too cold outside. It's fall now in the breeze. You keep putting it off. You're the never starters. You find every excuse you can to not start building the boat today. I love to think about Noah as that first tree fell and hit the ground that he went, well, I guess we're building a boat. That was what an amazing moment. You don't start because you're not uncomfortable. You don't start because you're too uncomfortable with the gap between what God has told you to build and all the things you don't know. God, I know you're calling me to build this into my family, my character, my kids, my marriage. But God, what about all, I don't know how this all plays out. And maybe the reason you're here today is because you're stuck in a holding pattern. And God is simply saying this, get on the work site and start building. Maybe you're in the never finish camp. This one's a little bit more tricky. See, let's not pretend that this build was easy for Noah. Let's not pretend that this was a breeze for him. How many mornings did he wake up and not want to walk to the job site? You think your Mondays are bad? Try 100 years of Mondays. Think about how many times his kids came to him and said, Dad, are you sure God said boat? It was boat with a B? Like tote, that's easy, a tote bag. Maybe we're wasting our time. How many times did his neighbors walk and sit on the hill next to where he's building the boat and sit there and eat their lunch and just laugh and ridicule him going, how's the boat coming? How easy would it have been for Noah to walk away? But listen to me, a half-built boat would not have saved his family. And if we can just be blunt honest in this room is full of people, many of us, who have a backyard of our life that's full of half-built boats. We have half-built marriages, half-built kids, half-built character, and half-built lives will not rescue you. See, I look back to my childhood and I think of the times my parents were parenting me and they had all these rules and all these things. I couldn't go to that party, couldn't hang with those people, couldn't date her, couldn't hang. And it was so, my parents knew that at seasons of my life, I hated them. And there had to be nights where they sat in bed and talked saying, is this worth it? Should we just let him do what he wants to do? And as a 34-year-old man, I am sitting here so grateful that my parents finished that build. Listen to me, parents, don't quit the build. It's so easy to get tired and say, is this worth it? Maybe the whole reason you're here today is because God's saying, listen, I told you something decades ago, years ago, months ago, weeks ago, days ago, maybe this morning, and I'm telling you, don't quit on this build. Your future is on the other side of this build. Half-built boats are not good enough. And the landscape, the backyard of your life is full of half-built boats, and God is ultimately inviting you to get back to to work. See, ultimately, the story of Noah is not the story of a man making a boat. The story of Noah is the story of a God making a way. The boat was just the vessel. The plan was rescuing humanity. See, Noah and the story of Noah is a foreshadowing of the story of Jesus. See, Noah built a boat to rescue humanity. God sent his son Jesus to rescue humanity for eternity. And ultimately, your story, just like Noah's, is not about a man or woman raising kids. Your story is not about a man or woman building a career, saving up some retirement. That's not your, story is about the story of a God making a way through your obedience. God never invites you to build just for yourself. God always invites us to build, at least in part, to rescue people around us. And Noah's story, he started building the boat to save his family, and he ended up rescuing humanity. And I think God's inviting us to build. I don't know what your ark is. I don't know what God's inviting you to build. I don't know what builds you've walked away from that God invited you 2 years ago. I don't know what God is doing even here and now in interrupting and elevating places you need to build into your marriage, your family, your career, your character. I don't know what it is. But ultimately, here's the question before us. What does it mean for you to make preparations based on what God is saying to you? That's a question that's worth wrestling through. You see, just like it plays out personally, it plays out for us as a church too. And here in a minute, your campus pastor is going to step up and make this really practical for us here at the Central Campus. But before I do that, I had the privilege of talking with our senior pastor, Kevin Myers, this week. I bumped into him and walked through what we were talking about this morning. And he shared some thoughts with me, and I asked his permission to share them, and he obliged. And so I want to share something that I think God's inviting us to as a church. I think we are in this same season as a church. Maybe if you were here in June, you've heard this language of awakening all over the place. Kevin's talking about an awakening. God is beginning to start and to create an awakening among us. See, what Kevin's really saying is God's giving Kevin eyes to see things we won't see on our own, things that are not yet seen. Now, what does that mean? We don't know. God sees things that are unseen as well. We can't see all that God sees. We don't know what this awakening thing's gonna be. We don't know the timing, the size, the scope. But here's the same invitation that God gave to Noah, he gives to us. Whenever you hear Kevin use this sidebar language of awakening, here's what he's really saying. Get in on the build. See, we're building an ark here, if you will. As a church, we're building based on what God has told us. We're making preparations. And this fall, as Kevin comes back next week and starts to talk about awakening, you need to hear this. God, you're inviting me to build. I want to get in early. Because 12 Stone is creating something here based on what God said that we pray will rescue hundreds and thousands of people.